It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. Authorities say a visitor has died on a hiking trail at White Sands National Monument. Park officials say rangers responded to a call Saturday afternoon that a person needed help on the Alkali Flat Trail. Responding park law enforcement rangers discovered an unresponsive man less than 1 mile from the trailhead. New Mexico State Police confirmed the man's death. The National Park Service will be coordinating with state authorities to investigate the incident. The Texas legislature failed to pass legislation to improve the accuracy of the U.S. Census next year. And an El Paso representative says that could cost the state money. Texas Public Radio's Paul Flav reports.
Areas like the Texas-Mexico border have been historically hard to count. In 2010, less than 60% of residents in many border counties returned mailed census questionnaires. El Paso Democrat Cesar Blanco says because the state didn't create a statewide complete count commission and funds for the decennial census, the count will likely not be accurate.
We're dealing with a census that has been drastically underfunded, and we're going to stand to lose millions of dollars for things that are important, like infrastructure, healthcare, education, a variety of things.
Census data is used to determine where billions of dollars in federal funding goes. A recent study estimated if Texas was undercounted by 1%, it would see a $300 million drop in annual funding. In Austin, I'm Paul Flav.
In more news, officers from 18 Native American law enforcement agencies from across the country met at the Santa Ana Star Casino in May. As KUNM's Bryce Dix reports, they completed a week-long training designed for conservation officers who patrol remote areas and protect wildlife.
It's unusually cold this spring day in Bernalillo. The casino's parking lot is full of law enforcement vehicles from tribal nations, including the Jicarilla Apache from New Mexico, the Southern Ute of Colorado, and the Hopi Nation in Arizona. Around 70 officers mill about.
They can be involved in any situation that any officer could be out in the country.
Joe Early is the Native American liaison with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He helped put this event together.
Sometimes they also are just general tribal police, or they assist the highway patrol and patrolling traffic, so they're doing things like applying tourniquets, evacuating the wounded officer to a vehicle, carrying them properly, things of that nature. So something they can utilize. You know, you have game wardens that literally have hundreds of miles to patrol by themselves with little to no backup.
This tactical medical training is for situations where someone gets injured. Officers are learning how to get a wounded colleague, witness, or suspect to a safe place for evacuation.
You know, some of these officers, they're street cops, but they're out in the mountains patrolling during hunting season or on fishing season, and they come across a marijuana field or a meth lab. So they're having to deal with something totally out of their normal daily job. Like there's a shooting in a nearby neighborhood, that they respond to that.
They learned how to treat gunshot wounds in a casino ballroom turned classroom. A gunshot to the chest can be very painful. As the patient breathes, air goes in and out of the wound. So officers practice applying chest seals.
They're not as sticky, but they'll at least give you a start for a chest seal. And then
basically, if you take anything that just does not allow air through, you'll be good to go.
The instructors are from the Department of Homeland Security, and they wouldn't give us their names. This one is serious behind his glasses, animated, and a little older than the others. He demonstrates how to apply plastic to a gunshot wound as a trainee lay on the floor.
I see a bag of Doritos. Can I use a bag of Doritos?
Then the group goes out to the back parking lot, where refrigerated trucks are unloading produce for the casino's restaurants. The instructor wipes his glasses, and then he shows how to get someone who's wounded into a vehicle. It's an extended cab pickup truck. First, he leans up against the truck, hugging a trainee as a wounded person under their arms from behind. Then, he falls backwards into the extended cab, with the trainee on top of him.
So I'm right here, and I start to shimmy.
Like a caterpillar, the instructor squirms on his back onto the seat, inching his way until he's finally in the truck.
I've got to shimmy myself from out underneath him, so I've got to shimmy however way I can. And now, I close and we go. Somebody let me out!
Then it's into an irrigation ditch, where there's a patch of soft green grass. Here the group learns a two-man carry. One instructor holds the head of a trainee, a second instructor holds his legs, one on either shoulder, while he draws a blue rubber pistol to show that if needed, you can protect yourself, even while bearing most of the weight.
Alright, so I'm taking all the weight, and we're moving. So, if at some point I get tired, hey partner, I'm getting tired.
Okay, go ahead and stand up.
I'm gonna stand up. Now he has all the weight.
Now I'm taking the weight.
As the training wraps up, officers chat and head out. This event only happens two places in the nation, and Bernard Inez Jr. has been coming every year. He's passionate about his job.
Long hours are going to be a must, away from your family a lot, countless hours of training.
Inez is the chief of conservation with the Jicarilla Apache Game and Fish Department.
You know, just educating everybody what conservation is, the importance of it, because we're in the business of protecting wildlife. Wildlife can't protect itself.
That's their goal and mission, Inez says, to protect wildlife for future generations. For KUNM, I'm Bryce Dix.